Greetings and salutations to our fine podcast audience. Welcome to Three Peas in a Pod, episode 296.
We made it.
I'm tasting that pizza already.
Is that what's happening?
Well, y'all said last week that when we get to 300, we know at 200 we ate pizza.
Yes.
So I'm just like, well, it'll either be that or something better, because 300 is better than 200, Nathan.
It's just higher.
It's just a higher number.
Making it better.
Here's what I'll say.
Bigger is better.
If I make it to 98, uh-huh, I'm going to go, oh, you know, that was a good life. If I make it to 300, I don't know that I'll go, higher was better. All the bones in my body have crumpled, but...
Maybe not.
Higher isn't all.
I don't think you have to worry about that, Nathan.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what modern medicine's going to do.
If you figure, well, you know, they're going
to... Silicon Valley guys are stealing blood from young people and...
That was last week.
Okay, that's right.
That was
right.
The conspiracy theory. But they will be, you know, loading your brain up to the cloud, you know.
Yeah.
So you can live on.
There you go.
You don't have to worry about your bones crumbling.
There you go.
You could just live forever.
Yeah.
So, how do you...
I already know how to do that.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Thanks,
Jesus.
Preacher.
Jesus.
Oh, good. Ed's got the answer.
Jesus.
Gosh. Of course he does.
That's what he told me.
Uh-huh. Well, lots of people think they've got lots of answers in lots of different religions.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Which is the question
that's
a segue, man. That's a heck of a segue.
Yes.
You're welcome. Here's the question. So, would you give someone who practices something like Santeria or another faith or spirituality, would you give them permission to say blessings and prayers on your behalf? Do their prayers and rituals affect anything? And should we not engage with that kind of stuff? Wow. Interesting. I've never had this come up for me yet. I've never had somebody approach me and ask me to say a blessing or a prayer in some other form or spirituality than mine. So I have to think about what would I say? And that I think it would... Well, it depends.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
It depends.
I'm in depends or not.
If I've made it to 98.
See, I can pun too.
There you go.
Yeah. And it was a form of humor for me.
It was a form of humor. I knew it would make you laugh.
And it didn't.
It was a pun.
And it didn't infuriate the rest of us.
Well, it should have. Maybe.
Infuriated yourself. Maybe we should try this as Ed Laughlin likes to do. Let's take these questions in reverse order.
Yep. Ooh. Go to it.
Okay.
So now, the last question was something about should we engage with it?
Yeah. Well,
we should not personally engage with it.
Yeah, I think I think that's the first place I would start is I personally would not, if they asked me to pray with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's pray together. Because, mm-hmm, and I've often thought about this on the reverse. We frequently, mm-hmm, will send people out on mission groups, say you should not only pray for people, but you should offer to pray with somebody.
Sure.
Who's a non-believer, right? Mm-hmm. And we believe that praying in the name of Jesus with this other person, that Jesus is present there, and he's, even if this is a non-believer, that he blesses that and he gets involved.
Mm-hmm. But we do say, you should ask them, can I pray with you?
Well, yeah.
You?
That's right.
And so if they said no, hopefully all our people would go, okay, huh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have asked. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but what I mean is like the praying with, the participating, mm-hmm, with. Yeah. And so if someone came to me, and I don't know, because I don't know other faith traditions, mm-hmm, as well as I do Christianity. Yeah. I don't know if they think there's a benefit of if I had a Muslim friend and they say, can, mm-hmm, we pray together,
yeah,
in the name of Allah? I would at that point, I'd say, well, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I certainly can't, mm-hmm, because I do believe, and that's the next part, that there is an effect that prayer is a powerful thing that has an effect in this world. And I do think we have been specifically commanded not to worship other gods.
That's right.
And, you know, you talk about Santeria, which isn't necessarily a religious thing. I know it gets classified.
Paganism, right?
Yeah, but it's, mm-hmm, it's a form of closer to what's witchcraft.
Yeah.
It's a closer to, mm-hmm, it's a power. We actually had this conversation on our Friday night. Oh, you weren't at, I was thinking, producer Charlie was not at my Friday night group, but we had one of, what's the difference between a wizard and a warlock?
Oh gosh.
Someone wanted to know. So we looked it up and I can't remember which one. One of them has one of them is basically praying to gods to, mm-hmm, get power, mm-hmm, and other ones are using forces to get power. So like a religion, and that's what I said, is, oh, one's like a religion, one's like witchcraft. Mm. One is I'm praying, and for Christian prayer, I am praying to Jesus. The power's not in me. Mm-hmm. The power is in Jesus, but I'm asking Jesus for.
Knock on wood. That's one of those things.
The power is in the wood.
Yes. Yeah, the power, it's apparently wood is very powerful.
Whereas witchcraft, things like voodoo,
yeah,
tend to be, I have the power through the word or the ritual or the thing I do. It possesses the power.
Yeah. It's magic.
It's magic. And so, yeah, we have been commanded not to engage with that, and certainly not to worship other gods. So I couldn't pray to Allah and still be honoring
Jesus.
And
if a person asked me, can they do that? I would probably say, well, since you asked, I'd rather you didn't.
Yeah.
And it gives me a chance to talk about Jesus.
Because I prayed to Jesus. I believe he's the one that effectual fervent prayer to him matters.
But I would say ultimately.
But I appreciate your good wishes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And if, but if they decide to do it anyway.
Well, I can't stop them.
You can't stop them. And.
Is no harm to
that.
Me.
You don't need to be afraid. That's the other part I was going to say. You don't need to be afraid of them because, you know, it's like when Paul was writing to the church and said, hey, you know, some of y'all are worried about eating food, sacrifice to idols, like you're going to be getting some kind of negative, you know, energy or something. Don't worry about that. You know that those gods are nothing. They are not powerful. Your God is God. You can eat what's put in front of you if you want to and be okay. It's not participating with that. All so you don't need to live in fear.
That's right.
But you also don't need to participate knowing that it is something that is leading you and maybe even others, which is the more important part, away from Jesus, away from worship of the true God.
Yeah.
That's not something you want to participate in because you don't want to lead other people or yourself astray. But you don't need to live in fear.
And that's a really good example to bring up is that scriptural example, because that is the fine line that the early church is walking, which is why Paul has to talk about it, is they were incredibly open in the marketplace about we only worship Jesus. Yes. It is why the Romans had a problem, because Jesus was the only God that could not be co-opted by the Romans.
Yes.
Romans were very happy to allow any conquered people to keep their gods. You just had to join them to the pantheon of other gods and give your, you know, offerings and stuff at a Roman temple.
And worship Caesar.
Yes.
Well, and Christians were actually called atheists by the Romans because they did not believe in the gods.
Yes, right. And they wouldn't go and pay tributes to the other gods, which then caused a problem. It questioned their allegiance. They were considered like almost traitors to the empire. Mm-hmm. There's a whole issue. All that stuff in the previous stuff about conspiracy theories. Where they talk about the mark of the beast.
Yes.
That's what the mark of the beast is in Revelation, is this idea of, we're going to continue to offer sacrifices. I will not take my stand with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I will continue to act like everyone else and to continue doing all these offerings. And what Paul is saying when he talks about meat offered to idols, he's not saying it's okay for you to keep going to the temple and eating the meat there. Mm-hmm. He isn't saying the meat there's fine. What he's talking about is when they would do sacrifices at the temple, you would come and you'd bring a bull, you know, or some big animal. And if you... I've never personally cut up a bull, but that's a lot of meat.
It's a lot.
And so no one who was having the party could eat all the meat in one night. Mm-hmm. So they would take the leftover meat to the marketplace and they would sell it at a discounted rate in the same way this was used for something else. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time for the Christian meals that some Roman, mostly was not a non-Jewish person, would go and get the meat that was left over. They'd bring it. And in the church, it was causing division because they're going, wait a second, this is leftover meat. And what Paul's saying is that's not participating by eating the leftover meat, because that wasn't it's just meat. That wasn't your intention. Mm-hmm. But what he isn't saying is, hey, it's okay for you to keep going to those offer us sacrifice.
I would say this, since we're talking about meat sacrificed idol, Paul does make the distinction, say you are a Jewish person, and you've been taught your whole life there is a problem. You shouldn't eat the meat.
That's right.
Yes.
And so let's say, for instance, you were a part of Santeria and you became a Christian. You should probably really refrain from that.
Yes.
Because you want to make sure that when you pray, you're praying to Jesus and that all the praise and glory, and you don't want any You don't want anything in the back of your mind, I'm leaning back to the old way.
Yeah.
So
good point.
That would be the distinction that I would want to make on that, whether you're, you know, Wiccan or whatever kind of thing that you are.
Yeah. And I think it is in proper ways, and Jason have already said, like, if a person comes to me, I have a friend at the gym who's Hindu. And if he came to me and said, hey, your kid's sick, is it okay with you that I offer prayers to, and then I don't know all their gods, but Krishna. I know Vishnu. That's another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot. So he tells me one. It would be important, one, not out of fear for me, but it's an opportunity for me to really place my stand with Jesus. Say, hey, I really do appreciate your heart, you know, in a gentle way. And I can tell you really love me. And obviously, whatever you do privately, I can't stop you from doing. But you do need to understand, the most important thing in my life is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I do believe he is the only God. Mm-hmm. And so I only pray in the name of Jesus. Yes. And I think they're often among Christians in our culture, unfortunately, the stuff we take stands about, that I feel like God is calling me to take a stand about, very little ever has to actually do with the name of Jesus. And I go, if I had this opportunity, I go, this is an actual opportunity for me to say, Jesus is what matters most to me. And since you're asking me, since you've engaged, you know, this is a distinction between us.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a small distinction between us. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a indifferent distinction, and you believe what you believe and I believe what I believe. I believe but I do trust your heart. I know these things. So I would prefer that you didn't pray in my name, but you know, I would see where the conversation went.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe
most people that are kind enough to ask you first are going to be kind enough to receive that.
Yes.
You would think.
Yes.
The ones who aren't kind enough probably ain't asking you anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just generally what I would
think
about.
I would think if I got asked, they would know there's potential that I'm offended somehow. Well, is why they're asking, because otherwise they would say what Christians say all the time is, I'm going to pray for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And they just walk away and be done.
Yeah. And what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, you can't do it. But if they ask me, can I pray for you?
Well, that's giving you the option to say no.
That's right.
Which then I think leads to another question. What if you ask, this is totally off
topic.
What if you ask somebody, can I pray for you in the name of Jesus? And they said no. Do I then secret?
Yeah.
Because I would feel like I'd have to say to them, hey, I'm not going to pray for you right now. But you do need to understand, prayer is part of my internal. I don't see a way that I don't offer prayers for them.
I don't think I'd have to reveal all that.
No. But I think that's very similar to the situation Jesus gave the disciples when he said, go into a home, and if they don't receive you, shake the dust off and go to another one.
Right.
Yeah.
It's okay to just say, okay, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I think I'd say okay.
Yeah.
And then in my prayers, I would say, Lord, you know, I had this conversation today, and this person didn't want me to pray for that, but I want to just pray for them in general, that something in their life will draw you to the
You just hand them over.
Yeah.
You just let, you know, that's not for you to worry about any longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that's a very similar parallel right there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know?
Yeah. I would love it if these were the kind of issues that people in our church were dealing with on a regular basis. Man, I am out there.
Running into Santeria and
or
all kinds of stuff.
Well,
or I'm out there praying for people.
Praying for
I'm
people.
Out that's there right. regularly talking about the name of Jesus to people. And I'm encountering other thoughts. Because, you know, and Ed said this thing, and I actually said this recently, and I'd said it on the Monday night group. I didn't say it at the Saturday night group or Saturday morning group for our On Mission thing. But often we really water down when we talk about, well, I talk to Jesus about someone, and it's this loose, God bless you, God loves you, And we've talked about this before. It is really easy. And I think even based on this question for a lot of Christians, we really water down what the gospel is, even in our own mind, to it's just the general idea that God loves people or that God wants to bless people. That is in a part of the gospel. It is a underpinning to it. But Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is King, is the ultimate gospel. And so when I would love it if people in our church weren't just out there being nice, kind Americans. Because honestly, when I'm out at a place and I say to someone, have a good day, and they go, have a blessed day, I don't assume that's a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
There are a lot of Southern people who just say, have a blessed day.
Any more than when I say thanks for doing that, and they go, of course. Or, you know, they work there, and whatever the thing Chick-fil-A says is
my pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure. I do not think they got pleasure from doing that.
That's right.
I don't think they're like,
it's not deeply rooted.
I just think it's something they say. I'm not like, oh gosh, that person gets pleasure out of giving me a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I don't take that to mean that.
Maybe they do.
And what I will say is, I hope no one thinks that. I don't think that's what they intended, but I get what you say.
Well, as I used to say to all of my kids when they were little, words mean things.
They do mean things.
Words.
They do mean
things. You can use other words. If you don't mean that, use a different word.
Yeah, but all of, I think we often get in place, and that's what I meant by I would love it if everyone in our church was in that place. I wish it became more common for myself too, that when I'm engaging with people in my world, even if they're not believers, that bringing Jesus into who I am, because it is central to who I am, and it didn't feel like this massive lift that I needed to bring into a conversation, and that it was more common and frequent that with my neighbors and them, and I do think there was a way in the ancient world. I'm not saying that it was easier by any means. People were getting killed for it.
Yeah.
But I think it was more common because I think that's the only way that people go. All the Christians are like this. It's the same way that unfortunately in our world, people have the idea that all Christians are a political voting bloc because the way Christians publicly tend to bring up their faith is, well, I'm a Christian and that's why I vote like this. I mean, that's often, unfortunately, it is the public witness we have. And if the public witness we had is, we really do believe there's a Jesus who answers our prayers and who is the king of this world and that we have given allegiance to him, that is a different kind of, but.
Maybe that should be a challenge to the people in our church. You should let us know the next time you offer or pray for someone and they tell you not to.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's going to take a long time.
I think so.
Well, it's not happened to me yet.
I would think so too.
You know?
Well, I just think it's the culture in our location.
Yeah.
This person with the Santeria, it's got to be somewhere around New Orleans or New York or
this is a Reddit question.
Where they're immigrants that practice those things. In the South, even if you are an immigrant, you get pretty clear. People here have taken on a lot of Christianese.
Yeah. Right.
And if I want to fit in and not get ostracized, I'll say, have a blessed day, and I'll play the Joy FM music in my store, even if I don't worship Jesus.
Yeah. I think there is a powerful witness that comes about when people actually know you're praying for them. And like Ed said, it's not just a Christian phrase. Because there are frequent people that I go, I don't even think this person goes to church. But when I say something, they go, you know, thoughts and prayers or prayer. And I think it's why it frustrates people so much is I don't think when people talk about the thoughts and prayers thing, what their issue is that you're praying. I think they see it as you're probably not even doing that. It's dismissive. You're not doing anything and you're not even praying at all. You're just saying this is a way to get away with something.
That's why it's important to go back.
Yes.
That's been my experience because I just had a recent encounter with someone in our community that I don't know where their faith is at. And they shared something and I said, I'm going to pray that, because they were going through some really tough physical stuff. And I said, I'm going to be praying that you get better and that this goes well and the doctors and all the stuff. And the next time I saw them, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, how'd that go? Yep. Are you doing better? And they kind of looked at me and said, you know, I am.
Yep.
I'm very much better. I'm saying, well, I'm so glad. I'm glad that prayer was answered.
Yes.
What's next for you? I'm going to be praying for that one.
Yeah.
And the more you engage in that way, it now they open up, whether they're a Christian or not, they open up to the possibility of what you said, that maybe this prayer thing is working for me.
That's right.
Maybe there is a God who is working in my life, which is the most important, whether the prayer worked or not.
Right.
That's the wrong way to say it. I shouldn't have said it that way.
there is a God who is working in my life.
Yes, right.
This is the witness that we want, and this is the interaction that matters.
Well, and it is what we see in the book of Acts, and it is what we see is that they are going around, Christians are going around, certainly, preaching the gospel, but they are also going around, and we have taken demonstrating the gospel to mean I was friendly to a, I paid for someone's thing behind me, and they'll know that Jesus is Lord because of that. They would go around and they would say, "Hey, I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus," and then occasionally God would do these miraculous things, and then they would come back and go, "Okay, this Jesus you keep talking about is doing something in my life." But unfortunately, what has happened in our culture is we have watered down to someone coming to faith to being, I've got to convince them to believe a set of things they never believed before, or they believed at one point, but now they have some objections to it, and I got to break down those things. Not, I am genuinely invested in the life of another person, and I am actively engaging with Jesus on their behalf. And I believe they are going to see Jesus through that. And then I could be able to say to them, so yes, this thing I've been telling you about for a long time by Jesus, it is obviously engaging in your life.
Yeah.
That would be a pretty cool thing.
It would.
But that's going to take some doing on our part.
Which reminds me, I need to check in on somebody.
There you go.
So I'm going to do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
And require some patient ferment on our part.
Hey!
I am almost done with that book.
It's a great book.
Hey,
it's a great book.
I'm completely done with that book.
Completely done with it. I'm almost done. I've been
I haven't read even the first page and I'm done.
He's already done. All right. You don't need it.
I've been patiently working my way through it slowly.
It's a good book.
So next week or whenever you come back, we will have episode 297. We will be even closer to 300 and we will have another question for you. I cannot wait. 300 is going to be a blast. I'm going to just go ahead and say it right here.
All right.
It might not be, but I'm going to go ahead and say that. All right. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.